So today I'm going to discuss a little bit of football. For those of you that are football fans, you'll like the analogy. For those of you that aren't, you might wonder, is this guy ever going to get to a scripture? But just bear with me. So we know football season just started, and not too long ago, we would have had the draft sometime last year. Every season we have the NFL draft, and I'm just now starting my timer. So you guys know what the draft is. It's where they get together and they select a couple hundred more players from college to play in the NFL. So if your job depended on it, which guy, can you go to the first slide, James? Is there a clicker I can use? No clicker. Next one. Which guy would you guys pick if you had the choice? Now, this isn't they're both quarterbacks, right? You're a draft analyzer, right? Which guy would you pick to be your draft pick for your team? The guy on the left, I went to Auburn University, graduated there 03. The guy on the left played quarterback at Auburn, probably around 2010, took him to the national championship, Heisman Trophy. He probably already knows who it is. You know, he's got all the stats. He grew up right here in Atlanta. The guy was, he's 6'5", 245 pounds. He ran the 40 in 4.5 seconds. He had a 3-foot vertical. He was the number one overall NFL draft pick in round one in 2011. Just a phenomenal player. I never got to see him play in person, but I got to watch him on the tube quite a bit. The other fella on the right, tall, skinny, lanky fella with no muscle mass whatsoever, is 6'4", 211, and ran the 40-yard in an abysmal 5.2 seconds with a 2-foot vertical. His bench, you know, in the NFL combine, you got to bench press 225, you know, the most reps, and some of those guys can go 25, 30 times. His was listed as NA, which means he probably couldn't even bench one time. He was probably benching 160, 170. So which player has the better resume, the better physique, and clearly more athletic? Well, it looks like the player on the left. But we're not going to talk about him a lot today. I want to talk about the skinny fella. Can you go next slide, right there. As for high school, his career didn't even start playing until his freshman year. He was the backup, and they went 0-for-8. Not 8-0, but 0-for-8. He became the starting quarterback by default his sophomore year only because the starter quit. For his college career, he attended the University of Michigan as a 7th-string quarterback. I didn't even know you could have 7 quarterbacks. He redshirted his first year. He didn't play his second, and not much his third. His 4th year, he had to compete for the starting position. And the 5th year, the same thing. The coach flipped him and Henson back and forth as the starter. Fast forward to the NFL draft. The year was 2000. This guy wasn't the number one draft, not the top 5, not the top 10, not in the top 100. Out of 250 players, he was draft number 199, almost dead last. His NFL combine performance after that was abysmal as well. The draft report said he lacks mobility, the ability to avoid the rush, poor build, skinny, lacks great physical stature and strength, lacks a strong arm, can't drive the ball downfield, does not throw a tight spiral, he's a system player that gets exposed if he's forced to ad-lib, which means he needs a big offensive line around him so he can't run. He's not a dual threat, and he gets knocked down easily. So all the NFL teams made a hard pass on him except for one. Bill Belichick looked around late in the draft and said his name's still on the board. And he knew he might be scraping the bottom of the barrel, but he took a chance. Bill Belichick was looking beyond the stats, beyond his lackluster combine performance, and beyond the negative scout and drafting reports. He looked beyond the Michigan University's coaching staff, who never had much confidence in the youth. So Bill Belichick hired this young man as the 4th-string quarterback, when most teams only have 2 on the active roster. This young man's first season with the Patriots, he rode the bench, but in the last game, he completed 1 of 3 attempts for 6 yards. For perspective, that's like me throwing from here to Mr. Holiday. Okay. His second season with the Patriots, he moved up 2 spots to backup quarterback, and in a twist of fate, Drew Bledsoe got injured during the game, and so they put him in as the backup. And he had always said, if they ever put me in the game, they won't ever take me out. And he was right. He went on that season to lead the New England Patriots to the Super Bowl victory. And at this point, many of you know I'm already talking about Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time. If you go to the next slide. Next slide. Right there. So, in his 23 seasons in the NFL, Brady made 10 Super Bowl appearances, won a record 7 Super Bowl titles, one of which he won his first year transferring to the Tampa Bay Bucks, if y'all remember that. That was amazing to change teams at age 44 or so and just win the first year. It was incredible with a new team. 3 NFL MVP awards, 5 record Super Bowl MVPs, and who can forget the 2017 game against the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl? See some pain back there. Falcons were up 28-3 against Tom Brady and the Patriots halfway through the third quarter. And in a typical Brady fashion, they came back and they won 34-28. He's the only player to win to have over 100,000 passing yards and too many more accolades to mention. And the most impressive thing is he played until he was 45. So as a result of his late selection and subsequent success, he's considered to be the biggest steal in the history of the NFL draft. And the NFL draft happens every year to draft new players, but the average player only lasts 3.3 years before getting fired or injured, right? So, you know, God is continually drafting or calling individuals, giving the opportunity to accept or deny the invitation. And you could break them into 2 draft rounds. Let's say the first round draft being this physical age, 6,000 years. Let's call this the Father's spiritual draft, round 1. God's spiritual draft, round 2, will be after the 1,000-year millennium and the general resurrection, when all the masses rise from their graves. But for today's message, we're focusing on God's first round draft picks, the first fruits. God looks down on earth upon the 8 billion, and he drafts those that he wants to bring into the fold, the ecclesia, and what we call the church. My first scripture for the day is Matthew 22, verse 14. Matthew 22, verse 14. You're probably familiar with it. It reads, "But many are drafted, but few are chosen." Wait, that's not right. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Oftentimes, God drafts someone out of the world, perhaps the first or only in their family. But if you're born into the church, you are drafted or called automatically. You have access to the teachings, the ways, the laws, and the opportunity for salvation. And this is a great opportunity not to be taken lightly. So, much like Bill Belichick saw intangible potential in Tom Brady, God the Father looks down and sees intangible potential in each of us that society does not see. He doesn't just see us for who we were before he drafted us. He sees us for the potential we have and what he can build us into to ultimately make us part of his spiritual team. You know, in football, it's not how you start off in the draft, but how you finish your career. And Tom Brady, he proved that. Like I said, 3.3 years is the average length of their career. In your spiritual life, it's not where you start off when God drafts you, but how you finish your race. And hopefully most of us last more than 3.3 years. When a football team is looking at a college player to take in the draft, they mostly look at the measurables. They look at the stats, the physical stats, and they bring them into the NFL combine to test them, to measure their height, their weight, their speed, their accuracy, their intelligence, their composure under pressure. I heard one quote that Brady had the worst measurables out of 576 quarterbacks analyzed by the San Francisco 49ers. The worst over the decades. That's decades of research during the NFL combine. Nobody wanted him. Again, but with minutes left on the draft, the Patriots said, "Wow, he's still up on the board." Bill Belichick knew Tom had something, some intangible potential, something there more than what meets the eye, beyond the physical, something he could develop over time. Of course, Tom possessed a love for the game, combined with extreme discipline and work ethic over a long period of time. He had to, because he didn't have much athleticism. But there was some latent, hidden potential there. It just needed time and opportunity mixed with hard work to develop and come out. So when you're drafted or called into God's church, and I guess I'm speaking to the first generation Christians right now, God the Father called you. Second generations or fourth generations like myself are drafted or called by default, by exposure, by association. We have the opportunity. Next slide. John 6:44 tells us that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or drafts him. But it still requires a lot of time, opportunity, and hard work to bear fruit and become a finished product over the course of your life. Thankfully, when God calls you, he's not looking at your previous stats, your measurables, your max 225 bench press or your 40-yard dash time, or other metrics like the digits in your bank account, your level of education, your success in career, or maybe how much you feel like you've sinned in your life. My dad told me over the years that many members always told him they don't know why they were called, because out of their family and friends or neighbors, they were the lowliest, you know, the least talented or the least gifted or the least compassionate, right? And they wonder, why did God call me? I don't have to wonder that because I was born into it. But when God calls you, he's looking at something intangible. Intangible to virtually everyone around you, including yourself. If there was someone in here I felt like I could pick on, I would say, for example, this guy. We all wonder why he called this guy. But I've never understood why he does call who he calls. And then he'll explain it someday, what the system is. What I do know is that the qualities he's looking for with first generation Christians are intangible at first glance. But the Father is the ultimate draft analyzer. So like Tom Brady did, we are called to grow and to change and to develop as Christians, as fathers, as mothers, sisters and brothers, as brethren, not just in our careers or in sports, but as people, to make the most of every opportunity. Tom said he had to treat every practice like it was a Super Bowl in high school, in college, and even in the NFL, just to get snaps. Snaps is, you know, that's when the center snaps the ball. Just to get practice time on the field. He had to work really hard just to have that opportunity, because he was overlooked by so many coaches. And you know, the metrics by which you're measured or judged, it changes tremendously after you're drafted and then baptized. All of a sudden, the standards and the bar, it gets raised. When God drafts you, your knowledge, your obedience, your attitude, and your love may be low. It may be non-existent. But that's okay. You've been invited to an awesome opportunity to learn and to grow. None of us are to remain in the state that we are. We're called to grow. And as we grow, God will expect more and more from you in terms of your obedience, your work ethic, your discipline, your consistency, and your love through the years, through the decades. And God has drafted sinners from all different walks of life to repentance. How about, because you see people that come in the church over the years that say, well, I've just sinned too much and I've done this and I've done that. How about Paul? Look at the atrocities Paul committed against God's church and look how he grew later in his life. So it doesn't matter what your past is. It's not going to be greater than some of the people God's worked with as and built into servants. Even in modern times, God drafts all types. They're given the opportunity to accept or reject the draft. If they accept, then the process of growth and development must be a priority moving forward, if they ultimately want to be, you know, on the team for more than 3.3 years or in the eternal family of God. Then the Father's going to use certain measurables in analyzing before making them a first fruit to live and to reign in the kingdom of God for 1,000 years and beyond. He will move beyond picking someone for certain intangible potential to measuring their level of tangible reality, their obedience, staying the course throughout their life. In other words, the Bible refers to this as overcoming and bearing fruit. We must bear fruit throughout our life as we finish our race. You can't just get baptized and then say, well, I've made it. My name is written in the book of life. I'm good to go. It is smooth sailing from here. No, there's going to be a lot of rough water, rough seas, and a lot of adversity. In fact, it kind of makes you a target once you're baptized, and Satan's like, oh, I want him, you know? So, whether you're drafted into God's church or you're born into it, at some point you have a choice to repent, be baptized, and have hands laid upon you. Receive the Holy Spirit, be written in the book of life, and then work to grow and overcome and display tangible fruit for the rest of your life. And if you finish the race, though you still sin and run an imperfect race, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. You will be granted salvation. You know, in the NFL, you are expendable. In the NFL, a quarterback like Tom Brady had to perform at a very high level with other quarterbacks vying for his job constantly. Always, every year, it's a new crop of quarterbacks, every year. He had to maintain a very high level of fitness and youth. And eventually, Father Tom caught up to him, and he retired at age 45 and a half. He was closer to 50 than he was to 40. He was older than me, and that's really old. So the NFL wants you at your peak, at your prime, and then they cut you. Kind of like, remember he got cut from the Patriots and they sent him to Tampa Bay because Bill Belichick thought he had aged out. And what did he do? He won another Super Bowl. So, Christ and God the Father want you for the remainder of your life and on into eternity. Not to cut you or cut you loose or be discarded when you mess up once or twice. A quarterback's value drops to zero if he's injured. It drops to zero if he's past his physical prime. However, in contrast, God uses injuries in your life, setbacks, trials, and failures to develop godly character, to develop his character in you. And remember, it doesn't happen automatically. It can take decades. But we have a decision to make there. If I suffer an injury, or you suffer an injury, be it physical or emotional, at home, a loved one, any type of loss or trial, we have a choice how we respond to it. Let's say I can become embittered by it, or I can use it as an opportunity to humble myself and grow closer to God and the brethren, and ask God to shape me to develop the type of character he wants me to have to stay on the team. Because my goal is ultimately to be part of the God family, be reunited with my loved ones that have passed, and just to be part of a spiritual family that lasts for forever. There's nothing better than that. So in conclusion, Tom Brady was a late sixth round draft pick, number 199. He came very close to being cast aside and just being an insurance salesman. But Bill Belichick saw intangible potential in him. Much in this way, God sees something in each of us that he knows he can work with to develop us for future roles in this life and through eternity. It reminds me of King Saul versus young David. Man may look on our physical appearance, but God looks on the heart. King Saul had all the measurables. He had the physical measurables. He's probably 6'4", 250, you know, good looking and talented and strong. He would have been a first round draft pick, maybe not in the NFL, but in the Israeli army, right? To be a leader. And David, as a young boy, nobody thought he could be a soldier. Nobody thought he could be a king. But he had that intangible potential that God recognized, that he knew he could work with. Recently, Tom Brady retired, and Bill Belichick said, "Tom's humble beginning in professional football ultimately ended with him becoming the best player in NFL history. His pursuit of excellence was inspirational. Tom was professional on and off the field, carried himself with class, integrity, and kindness." Remember, you have the opportunity to reach your potential in this life and the next. Genesis 1:27, James, next slide. Genesis 1:27 says, "We are made in the image of God." That's a profound statement. He could have made us look like monkeys or lions or tigers or bears. You know, we are made in the image of God. And God desires to give every human being the gift of eternal life. Next slide. Revelation 21 verse 7 says, "Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The Father sees potential in us beyond what our human brains can imagine. He's playing the long game, beyond a time horizon that we can imagine. And he looks past this human flesh and bone, this earthly tent. And God is using us to accomplish his will and purpose. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 reads, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." When Bill Belichick chose Tom Brady, everybody laughed. You know, it was like, who are you picking? But all those guys, all these years later, they all wished they had picked Tom as well. The Father doesn't call many of the rich, the famous, the most talented, or the elites, but the lowly. So let us all strive to live up to the potential that the Father sees in us through obedience to his law, the help of the Holy Spirit, and bearing much fruit. And remember, it's not how you start in the draft, it's how you finish. Next slide. James, next slide. That last picture is Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, his old coach.